Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk, and I'm here on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. All your gold and silver coin needs. I'll be here all by myself today doing the program without co-host, guest, in other words, au naturel. Let's start with the market reports, which are offensive and disgusting. Gold is down $17.30 per ounce to $1,352 per ounce. Silver is down 34 cents to $21.45 per ounce. Platinum is down 26 bucks to $1,425 per ounce. Palladium is down $15 to $698 per ounce. Dow Jones is down 206 points to 15,113. NASDAQ is off 39 points to 3,433. New York Stock Exchange is down 110 points to 9,290. U.S. dollar index is up 0.68 to 81.35. Crude oil is down 39 cents to $98.05 per barrel. You know, it has been a difficult past 20 months for those of us who believe in gold and watch the prices knock down again and again. You can go to you see these waterfall events. They're right there on the chart. Gold is down $17 today. You look at the live chart, and this is nothing new. I'm sure all of you are aware of this. You've probably seen it if you invest in gold. Gold was actually going up earlier today. It got up to neighborhood of 13,775. Came close to that, about 75. And then at 2 o'clock, Eastern time. Gold just went down, 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 and down. It was another one of these waterfall events that we see on a regular basis in the gold markets. All of the sudden, prices just zoom. They fall almost straight down. In some instances, they do fall straight down. It is clear evidence when you see it repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly. There's no question. The markets are being manipulated. They're being openly manipulated. The powers that be are driving the price of gold down. And you have to wonder, You know, what is their reason, point one, and point two, how long can they continue? The reason, of course, is to maintain the illusion that the paper dollar, the fiat dollar, actually has some significant value. That's at least a major part of the reason for driving the price of gold down. Another part of the reason is that some of the heavy hitters have allegedly invested substantially in, they've shorted gold and silver, and they've done it for a considerable period of time, and if they don't drive the price down, they're going to lose their assets. All right, just greed on one hand, and it's government manipulation on another hand. Those are reasons. How long can it continue? And that's the big question. And I think that, you know, in my gut, I think the answer is not much longer. But the truth is, I don't have any evidence to support that contention. I don't have evidence that can directly support the contention. But I understand the truth will out sooner or later. I have no doubt that the truth must out. I have no doubt that the system is running out of resources. It's part of the reason why it is so desperate to diminish the price of gold. Its own resources, I believe, are running out. They're losing control. These are, in my opinion, the last desperate acts of a system that understands that if they can't bring this into control, where they can control it in the sense of a fascist government, in the sense the Nazis controlled the German economy, if they can't master that control, they're going to lose so much before this is done, they're going to be wiped out. What we are watching here is a war that's taking place on the field of gold and the field of silver and a few other commodities and stocks and whatever. But there's a war taking place. This is not just greed. It's not just ambition. It's not just because we can. What we're witnessing are acts of, in my opinion, desperation by a system that understands that it is in great peril and that if it doesn't do desperate things now, it's going to be destroyed. And what is that system? In broad strokes, it's the fiat monetary system that dominates the world today. It's the idea that you can take a worthless piece of paper that has no intrinsic value and still pass it off as if it had value, that you can fool the people. You know, what was it that Barnum said? No, it was Lincoln. Lincoln. He said, you can fool some of the people all of the time and all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Well, the people in positions of power think you can fool all of the people, or very nearly all of the people all of the time, and they're overt. Suppression of the price of gold, suppression of the price of silver, is evidence that they think they're going to get away with this. They think they're going to be able to beat the rap. I don't think they can. But we are engaged in a war. And this is not a question of simple investments. It's not a question of profit and loss. It's a question of a war is being waged in the same sense that Winston Churchill, it's in the dark days of World War II when the Nazis were bombing England. And the RAF, the Royal Air Force, handful of pilots, went up and did an extraordinary job of defending England against an aerial assault by Nazi bombers. And Churchill said something to the effect that never in history have so many owed so much to so few. In other words, a handful of pilots did an enormous amount of good for the majority of the English people. We're in something like that now. What we're engaged in is a war, and it goes to whether you are going to live in a world of paper currency that can be spun out of thin air by the powers that be, and they will always take a fat cut for themselves, or whether you want to go back to a world of gold and silver, where, in fact, we have relatively stable prices. You can have a job, and if you're making $5 an hour today, it'll be $5 an hour 10 years from now and 20 years from now, and it will still be the same $5. You won't watch your wealth. You won't watch your income constantly eroded by inflation. You won't watch a government grow disproportionately and cancerously large, fueled by these phony baloney paper dollars. And if you don't participate in that war, if you're not aware of the war, you don't participate in the war, well, then you're going to live with whoever triumphs. And if the government triumphs, I guarantee these paper dollars, this goes to the heart of the trouble we have. We wouldn't have big government right now. If you believe in limited government, if you believe in liberty, you can't believe in paper dollars. And I'm sure that most people say, well, that's crazy talk. I've got perfectly good paper right here in my wallet, and I go out and buy things. And Yeah, I get that. I know that it spends. I know that it appears to be okay. But the truth is, suppose that I were the one guy in the country who could spin out paper dollars, and I wrote them out like checks on a checkbook. I would be the wealthiest and most powerful man in the world. I would have far more wealth and far more power so long as I had a pen with ink in it and pieces of paper to write on. I would have more wealth than you and your family and your community and anyone you could name or mention. And I would have more wealth than you could ever have, ever earn, ever dream of. And I would have it. My wealth would flow strictly from my fountain pen. It wouldn't have anything to do with whether I ever worked for a living. It wouldn't have to do with whether or not I ever produced homes or cars or food. It had nothing to do with that. All I had to do was sign my name on little pieces of paper, and that would be your money, and I would get rich. I would be so much richer. I could own you, every one of you. I could buy you and sell you, and it would be wrong. You wouldn't want me to have that power, and I wouldn't want you to have that power, and yet we sit here and we've given that power to the Federal Reserve and or to the federal government. And the result has been a government that has grown disproportionately large. It is now something like, 30-40% of the economy is allegedly a function of government. It's insane. Can't work. It cannot work. And the only way you're going to cut that government back to size is you must prevent it from being able to spin paper currency out of thin air and pass it off among you, me, and everyone else as if it were money. It's not. It's currency. It's not money. It's currency. Gold and silver are money. If you're going to go with that paper, you are headed into a police state. You can kiss your liberty goodbye while you are worshiping. Here, I have a $100 bill. Do you hear it? Do you hear it crinkling? That's America's God right there. Let's all bow down and worship the fiat dollar. And that, it's wrong. It's just wrong, and we are seeing the consequences of the immorality, the fraud, that's inherent in every paper currency, every fiat currency. We're seeing that now in this fight over what the price of gold should be, what it's suppressed to be. And we're seeing a war. And this is a big war. This is an important war. And this is, some people have described it as World War III. The fight between paper currency and gold. A world war, truly a world war, and we're losing. We the people are losing. We the American people, while our government and forces close to the government that either work for the government. If the government works for those private interests one way or the other, they are suppressing the price of gold. And what are they doing? They're driving the gold out of the country. There are reports of lines as long as 10,000 people in China lined up to buy gold. They get it. Those Chinese people are smarter than the average American. Not a little bit smarter, a lot smarter. India, people in India are buying gold. Government's trying to restrict it because it's causing a balance payments problem. The people in India say, screw the government, baby. They are giving gold away in the Western world. We're going to get some. And the American people sit by and wonder whether they should invest in what stock they should invest in, if any. And whether they should vote for a Republican or a Democrat, when the truth is both of them are going to send this country down the toilet. It's unfortunate and it's sad, but this country is going to hell. And it really is sad. You look around, you can see this, you can see it happening. And when we get there, right? There are going to be a lot of people in this country who are going to sit back and say, oh my gosh, how could this happen? It's been happening for 40 years. It's been happening for 100 years. It's been happening while we were watching Dancing with the Stars and America's Got Talent and God knows what else. There have been forces at work who weren't wasting their time on TV. They do bother to read books. They do bother to learn and educate themselves. And then we got the American people who think ignorance is bliss, and they're entitled to that bliss. They're entitled to be ignorant forever. And as long as they can stay ignorant and they're feeling good, baby, what's wrong with that? If it feels good, do it. You know what I'm talking about? And what feels better than ignorance, huh? I mean, what could be better than, it's better than most drugs, it's better than crack, it's better than heroin, it's better than cocaine. Ignorance, baby! Yeah! That's what keeps America happy. That's what keeps us blissful. We can be ignorant. We're entitled to be ignorant. We're Americans. The truth is, we are not entitled. The truth is, the day is coming when the American people are going to be in a period of pain that is going to be unremitting, continuous, persistent for a considerable period of time. And it will persist until the American people begin to learn, and when they begin to once again be as interested in acquiring knowledge as they are in appearing on Facebook, and telling people what they watched on TV last night. And did you see Brad Pitt or whoever? Huh? It's just so cute. We have become a foolish people. You know? Foolish and frivolous and more than happy to waste our lives and our country on the pursuit of worthless pieces of paper. And people just don't yet get it. They do not understand how critically important your monetary system is. It goes to your entire system of values. It goes to whether or not you live in a country based on moral right and wrong, or whether you live in an economy that's based on nothing but profit and loss. We are living in an economy. Government wants us to live in an economy. Government wants us to think only about profit and loss, not right and wrong. And as we get into that and we accept that and we see things, we judge things, whether they're right or wrong, it's not a question of moral right and wrong. How much money does it make? If it makes money, well, of course it's good. Prostitution is good. Drug dealing is good. Letting illegal aliens into this country, and we'll talk more about illegal aliens when we get deeper into the program. It's good because there might be some money in it. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. We'll be back to talk more about money, morality, right and wrong, profit and loss in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188, for all your gold and silver coin needs and gold and silver coin ammunition. We're engaged in a war. We're going to win that war, but we're going to have a bump. We're watching the bumps in the road right now. And the only question is, how many more bumps are we going to have to endure before we begin to win? Gold and silver become ammunition in this war, and it's one of the things you should be stocking up on in order to participate in this war and protect yourself in the future. Here's an example. Here's today's special from Discount Gold and Silver. One MS62, $20 Liberty, that's 1 ounce of gold or just a shade under. 1 ounce silver round, shipping included, $1,695. Minted from 1866 to 1907, the MS62 $20 Liberty gold coins are cherished and sought after for their history and rarity. They combine a beautiful design, scarcity, and low prices. In addition, these coins have at times outperformed gold bullion coins. When demand is high, the MS62 $20 Liberty's leverage often increases much faster than bullion coins. You'll also receive one 1 ounce silver round, 0.999 fine silver, and the shipping is included as well, all for $1,695. Regular price, $1,765. Savings, $70. All right, $70 savings. Shipping included, $16.95 for one MS62 $20 Liberty and one 1 ounce silver round. Give Carla a call at Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What else have we got to talk about? We've got Earl from Oregon is on the phone. Let's see what Earl has to say. Hello, Earl.
Hi, good afternoon. Hey, you were talking about gold and silver and using it for money. Well, here's some ideas for people. Back in the 1800s, late 1800s, there was quite a controversy because there wasn't enough money. And there was people that were saying that, oh, we need to have silver because that would increase the money. And the problem was is when the ratio between gold and silver got out of line, then they'd either people would either melt down the gold or melt down the silver, whichever one was not in line, and then they'd make money doing that. Well, that's because they were valuing had a face value of the dollar, and instead the cure to bimetallism, you can look that up in history, the cure to that is to market what it is, 1 ounce or a fraction of gold and the purity, or 1 ounce of silver and or the fraction of, and the purity. And therefore, it is what it is, and it doesn't have an artificial name or such as dollar that can be manipulated. It is what it is. 1 ounce of gold, 1 ounce of silver.
And what do you think the chances are? What do you think the chances are that you can sell the idea that gold is what it is or silver is what it is as money to the American people or anyone else? It may be true. What you're saying may be true, but what do you think the chances are that you can sell it?
When inflation comes to America, then people will look for something stable. And that's what it will be. People in other countries that have a long calendar, like in China, their calendar is 5,700 years. That's how far back their calendar goes. Israel's calendar, the difference between Israel's calendar and China's calendar is like 68 years. 5,700-year calendars. They have history. They know what the value of gold and silver is.
Yeah, they have. I follow that, but let's continue with this notion on bimetallism.
Okay.
We have had a bimetallic monetary system in this country. My reading, and I'm not a scholar on this, but I'm a student, and my reading of the late 1800s when we began to adopt silver as we moved in and said, let's have silver for our alternative money in this. We'll have both gold and silver. And we went into a bimetallic monetary system. That was flawed from the beginning. Because inevitably, one of the coins, once you establish that $1 in silver is worth $20 in gold, 1 ounce of gold is equal 20 ounces of silver. Once you set that ratio, inevitably, the free market for industrial purposes is going to sometimes price gold at a higher ratio relative to silver, and sometimes they're going to price silver at a higher ratio relative to gold. And when that difference takes place, people with little sense will say, well, I'm going to melt my gold, or I'm going to melt my silver coins and sell it into the industrial market because I can make money that way. And what I'm trying to get to is this. The whole idea of a bimetallic monetary system is fundamentally flawed. My understanding is that the primary reason we moved so heavily into silver in the late 1800s is because Western United States were mining silver so fast and in such quantities that silver cost less than it was on the market. It was selling for less than it cost to produce. And therefore, the silver miners needed another outlet for silver, and they persuaded Congress to turn silver into money. And there they had a new market, and they could sustain their prices, and they could still make profits in the mines. Point I'm making is this was something of a hustle to begin with. This was a manipulation to begin with, and that's the first point. The silver miners manipulated Congress into enacting laws where we'd issue more silver currency, create more demand for silver, and therefore we'd sustain the silver mines and the silver markets. It was special interest legislation, and it ultimately did not work well because this bimetallic system is flawed. Here's the lesson for me. A lot of people think of both gold and silver as monetary metals because we've used them that way in this country. And certainly silver They took gold out domestically in 33, 34. We've had silver in our monetary system up until as late as 1968 in this country, when it was still silver dollars. So we have a habit of thinking in terms of silver as a monetary metal. When I look at it and I see how little silver is being produced and how great the industrial demand is for silver, I am doubtful, I am skeptical that silver will ever again be a monetary metal. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm saying gold will definitely be a monetary metal. It always was, it always will be. But I think silver is a monetary metal. I think the presumption that that'll happen again officially is improbable. I won't say it can't happen, but I'd say it's unlikely. You're looking for monetary metal, you're looking for gold. All right, in my opinion. What do you think about that, Earl?
All right. Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution, so this goes back to the 1780s, gold is silver coins of the United States. All right? That's what it says. It talks about. So silver coins were accepted as money back then in the 1700s, all right?
I get
here
that.
In America. All right, so we had it. And the problem with bimetallism is the artificial construct called the dollar. By using an artificial construct and calling it a dollar, you allow the value of either gold or silver to manipulate the value of the other coin. If you name it what it is, 1 ounce of gold or 1 ounce of silver of this fineness, it is what it is, and it cannot be manipulated one against the other because it doesn't have an artificial construct for someone to take advantage of. It is what it is. That is the cure to bimetallism.
All right, so what you're saying, at least part of what you're saying is this. But how do you, what you're implying is this. You've got to set it up where a silver coin has some value. All right? And a gold coin has some value. But you're saying those values should be determined on a daily or a yearly basis by the free market. You're implying that. And that the value of the silver coin and the value of the gold coin should not be set by the government. They shouldn't say that an ounce of gold is worth $20 and an ounce of silver is worth $1. That we've got to somehow have a system of accounting where the ratio between the two of them is not fixed, but reflects free market. Is that what you're implying?
Because it reflects the availability of each of those metals and the supply and demand of each of those metals, and it's pretty instantaneous as far as it can be done.
Yeah, but here's a problem.
Manipulation. By government, and that's the beauty of it.
Well, that's the beauty of it, maybe, but here is the ugliness of it. How do you assess taxes? And I'm not in favor of taxes, but I guarantee they're going to be like death and taxes are the two sure things in this life. All right, now how do you assess taxes?
I have an answer.
If you're being paid in a coin, gold or silver, that have fluctuating values, what is your tax? How do you compute that? You've got to establish some sort of a fixed value for at least one of these coins where you can have some sort of standard accounting. Otherwise, how do you even know what your profit and loss was? If I'm being paid in gold, I might have made $100,000 in profit. If I'm being paid in silver, I may have made $150,000 in profit. How much money do I pay in taxes? How do we calculate this if we don't have a fixed value?
This is how it's done. Only one tax, and that is a sales tax collected by the counties, so it decentralizes the money, it decentralizes the power, because he who has the gold makes the rules. The county collects the taxes, and because there's a county that is situated over everywhere in America except for Washington, D.C., and it can be treated as a county, we have a county over every area in America, and the people live in only one place at one time. So as you buy, you pay a 10% sales tax. That's it. Because said anything more than 10% is robbery.
I'll give you that. It sounds pretty good.
It's the county pays for all the services it needs in that county if there's any left over. And if the state is on good behavior, the state is granted a portion of what's left over. And if the federal government is on good behavior, the federal government is granted a portion. It changes the power instead of the counties and the cities.
I get you. I see what it does. Instead of having power concentrated in Washington, D.C., in a few hands, it's distributed among all of the counties in the country, and as a result, power is distributed. It's not concentrated. We no longer live in a police state. All right? That would be
correct.
One of the implications on this. What do you think the chances are that state government's going to go along with this, that they're going to just be there hat in hand at the county and say, gee, could you give us some money? And the feds are going to say, gee, can you give us some money, please?
No, this will happen after Humpty Dumpty time, okay? After all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put the federal government back together again, or the state. This is after that time when people are trying to reconstruct civilization. That's when this will be instituted and not before then.
Well, that's when it'll be instituted, if ever. I mean, the fact of the matter is, large political bodies want money, and they're prepared to take it by force. And what you're suggesting is a system, no matter how ideal it may be, you know, you got to look at this. There is a practicality and pragmatic considerations here. How are we going to have a state government, a state of the union, if it doesn't have the ability to tax the people within the state? And that doesn't mean going to the counties and saying, pretty please with sugar on top, give me some money because we're broke. It means laying the law and say, look, we want the money. Hand it over.
Well, they can tax the corporations if they're still allowed to be corporations.
Well, it's a good theory. It's a good theory. I give you that. But for the moment, and I think it's even an important theory from this perspective, it helps people to begin to think about money as something other than just a means of, on the basis of something other than addition and subtraction. All right? Most people just look at money and does it say 100 in the upper right-hand corner? Or does it say 1, 5, 20, 50? What does it say? That's all. That's all most people need to know. It's ideas like this that cause people to do a little thinking. And they begin to see, wait a second, there is much more to money than just counting. And when they begin to get hold of that idea, they begin to understand the political implications. That's what you're talking about to some degree. You're talking about how we have less government power concentrated in Washington. And if the power were redistributed back to the county level rather than to the federal level, we would have less of a police state. We would have more liberty, more freedom. It's part of the consequences that go to deciding what kind of a money system are we going to have. What kind of money? It can't be just a number painted on a piece of paper. There's got to be something real, and people need to understand this, and they need to make choices. Earl, we're down to about 30 seconds before we're going to take a break. Anything you'd like to add before we move on?
One last thing is that people can go on the internet, Google Title 12, Section 152, and see that Congress has deleted the definition of lawful money, and I believe that it also deleted the definition of the dollar.
I wouldn't be surprised, and it'll be perhaps the definition of the dollar is going to be deleted from world history before we're all done. It looks like the dollar's headed for the trash heap regardless of what happens. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Want to remind you, today's special is an MS-62 $20 Liberty and 1 ounce silver round for $1,695. That includes shipping. You're saving about $70 over the regular price. Again, MS-62 $20 Liberty. That's a 1 ounce gold coin, of course, plus a 1 ounce silver round. About 999.999 fine silver, shipping included, $1,695. Give Carl a call. Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Let's do a couple of headlines. Here's one. The 14-year-old kid arrested over his pro-NRA shirt now faces a year in jail. All right. The West Virginia eighth grader, who was suspended and arrested in late April after he refused to remove a T-shirt supporting the National Rifle Association, appeared in court this week and was formally charged with obstructing an officer. 14-year-old Jerome Markham now faces a $500 fine and a maximum of 1 year in prison. The boy's father is not pleased. He says, "Me, I'm more of a fighter, and so is Jared, and eventually we're going to get through this. I don't think it should have ever gotten this far," and he's exactly right. What kind of a country is this becoming when the jackass cops are going to threaten a 14-year-old boy with a year in the slammer because he wouldn't take off a T-shirt in favor of the National Rifle Association? The country is becoming crazy. I won't say the country is becoming crazy, except in this regard. We put up with this crap. The cops are becoming crazy. The schools are becoming crazy, and the people are crazy insofar as we put up with the crap. What else have we got? The government is spying on America with drones, too. This is from the Atlantic Wire. FBI Director Robert Mueller said the government has used surveillance drones in the U.S., though, quote, in a very, very minimal way, very seldom. At a Senate hearing on Wednesday, It's very seldom used, and generally used in particular in a particular incident when you need the capability, Mueller said before the Judiciary Committee. It's very narrowly focused on particularized cases and particularized needs. And he said he did not know what happens to the images the drones captured. Mueller's answer came following questions from California Senator Dianne Feinstein, who said drones were the biggest threat to privacy in America today. This is funny because Feinstein had just given a rousing defense to the National Security Agency's program to collect metadata on all telephone calls made by Americans. The whole thing becomes weirder and weirder, but all I can say, look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's a drone spying on you. If they're not spying on you while you're on the internet and they're not spying on you while you're on the phone, they're going to spy on you from the drones overhead, but only in very unusual circumstances. They're not going to be spying on you all the time. What do we know about spying? All right. We spy on our enemies. I know that sometimes government spies even on their friends. I get that. But spying is primarily intended and directed at our enemies. That's what spying is all about. What the heck are those sneaky SOBs up to? Insofar as the government is spying on you, what does it tell you? They're spying on you. They're spying on me. They're spying on tens of millions of Americans. What's that tell you? The implication is that they regard you and me and tens of millions of other Americans as enemies, or at least potential enemies. That's what it tells us. That's what it tells us. And the next point after that is, if someone regards me as their enemy, suppose the guy down the street, I barely know him. He thinks of me as his enemy. And if he can do me some harm, he's going to, because he sees me as his enemy. If I find out he regards me as his enemy, and he doesn't really have any cause, I haven't done anything to him, I have no intent to do anything to him, why would he regard me as his enemy? But nevertheless, he insists, he says, that guy Addis, he's my enemy. All right. Is it unreasonable for me to regard him as my enemy? I know there's no reason for either one of us to think of each other as enemies. But when one party acts in a way and embraces an attitude where it says, that guy is my enemy, is it unreasonable for the person who's deemed an enemy to say, okay, if you think I'm your enemy, I think you're my enemy. Huh? The whole thing is a kind of madness. And perhaps we'd be best to sit back and try to dispute the idea that we are enemies of the government. That might be our wisest choice. But we still need to recognize that if the government insists on spying on us, that the implication is that the government regards us as current or potential enemies, and it is therefore at least reasonable that we consider the option of regarding government as our enemy. And it's not necessarily such a bad idea. They spy on us with drones and computers and Verizon arrest. We spy on them with the internet. We have people who show up. They leak things. They work in the government. They get as sick of it as most of the people who live outside of the government. And some of these government employees are in positions where, like Ed Snowden, he wasn't actually working for the government. He had been, but he was indirectly involved with the government. He had access to information. He revealed the information. Next thing we know, we have a scandal. Turns out the government is spying on the American people. And there's others I can't think. Manning? What's the name of the private who was responsible for releasing an enormous mass of information to WikiLeaks? Private, and I can't think of his name. Probably being on trial even right now. I haven't heard a conclusion of the trial yet. Maybe there's been one, but I haven't heard of it. He's another one. We spy on the government. They spy on us. They use sophisticated computers to get at us. We use people within the government to report things on the internet. And so we get to spy on them. I don't know what this all means. It's a kind of madness. Again, it's certainly a disconnect between the people and the government. It indicates we don't trust the government as far as we can throw it. The government doesn't trust us as far as they can throw us. Where's it all going to end? The question becomes, who is running this show? Who is the sovereign? Who is the beneficiary of this government and this political system? Are we the people in charge? Because if we are, we get to spy on the government. Right? They are our servants. If we're in charge, they're our servants, and we need to keep an eye on them and make sure they do what we want them to do. On the other hand, if the government is in charge, they say, no, the people are just a bunch of peons and animals and property that can be owned and controlled and managed by the all-wise government, and the government will therefore spy on its property in order to keep all the peons in line. Who is in control? And that's what's really happening in this country right now. The disconnect between the government and the people is evidence that there is a growing issue of who's running this show. We the people or them the government? Who is running the show? Insofar as we spy on them and they spy on us, it's evidence of a disconnect. We are no longer working together. And that implies that someone's will is going to be imposed on someone else. We the people are not working in harmony with the government. Them, the government, are not working in harmony with we the people. One of us is going to impose their will on the others. And I guarantee government is planning to impose their will on us. You and I are of a mindset that, you know, a little bit like Rodney King. Why can't we all just get along? You know, that's what most Americans really think. Why can't we all get along? And the government says, because you peons won't take orders. That's what the government's telling us. That's what they tell us every day. They don't come right out and say it. But that's what they want. They want you to just follow orders. And if you don't, we'll throw your butt in jail like this 14-year-old boy. Wears a T-shirt with the NRA on it, and next thing you know, he's facing a year on the slammer. Now, I don't believe he's going to get a year in the slammer. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the judge is that damn stupid, but the cop was that stupid, and the school was that stupid. It's a question. We got to make that boy obey, and I guarantee there are people in positions of power that are bound and determined to make you and me obey also. And if you are wearing the wrong T-shirt or you're saying the politically incorrect things on the radio program, there are people who say, we need to put this person in jail. Some of us think we get to talk. Some of them say we have to shut up. Whose will is going to prevail? And that's the question that's being faced. And this is what the spying and the counter-spying between us and the government, this is what it's evidence of a disconnect between the government and the people. And that disconnect will not be easily healed, and it's certainly evidence. Sooner or later, one of us is going to impose our will on the other. And who's it going to be? Who will impose their will on who? Will we make government obey us? Will government make us obey them? And how will that obedience be achieved? Will it be achieved politically by voting? Will it be achieved by violence? Right? Government's not averse to violence. We are. We the people are averse. We don't want to do that. We don't want to get involved. The government knows that. But at the same time, we are stacking up our guns. We're stacking up our ammunition. What does it indicate? It indicates that bifurcation of the people and the government. It indicates that the nature of the relationship between the people and the government has become increasingly adversarial. It indicates that the people and the government, we both know, That's why they're spying on us. They know that we are increasingly critical of government, increasingly adversarial government. And government, therefore, says, what are these people doing? We got to find out what they're doing because we can't trust them. Why can't they trust us? Because they are betraying us on a regular basis. And anyone who looks around can see it, that the people in positions of power in our government are not doing what's best for the American people. They're not doing what's best for the United States of America. They are frequently doing what's best for a new world order. They are doing what's best to destroy the United States of America. And classic evidence of that is they've done virtually nothing to stop the inflow of illegal aliens pouring into this country from Mexico. Nothing's been done. We go over and invade. We've got time and money to invade Afghanistan and invade Iraq and maybe Syria, maybe Iran. There's all kinds of countries. But we don't have the money to protect our own borders. Why? Because once we get enough illegal aliens in this country will cease to be the United States of America. It will tend to fragment. It is a divide and conquer strategy that's being employed against us by the New World Order. How many people could resist the will of the New World Order? How many nations could do it? The only nation that can really stand up against them, oh, maybe China. Yeah, China. The United States. Insofar as they can break us down and divide us and reduce the United States of 50 states into the United States of, who knows, 25 states over here and 15 over here and 12 down in the southwest corner. If they can divide this country up into chunks, and they can do it if they can put enough illegal aliens in this country. If they can divide it into chunks, we're going to be less able to resist the New World Order. I have little doubt that this is a fundamental objective for not just allowing illegal aliens to invade this country, but encouraging and rewarding them to do so. It's just one example of treason that's being practiced against the American people by our own government. And those of you who bother to look and have sufficient courage to see are undoubtedly reaching a similar conclusion. And to the extent you reach that conclusion, we see this division between the government that's working against the best interests of the people, no longer serving the people, but working against our best interests in favor of interests that are frequently foreign to that of this country. I'm Alfred Adisk, and this is Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I want to thank all of you for listening. I hope you will tune in again tomorrow. I'll return with Wendy Wilson on for the first section to deal with health issues. And thanks for listening. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, and Frank the producer. Frank.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.